First time for our family, first time ever in the Adirondacks. Late night, I turned our van off the well-lit main street. We headed up a pitch-black mountain road. I immediately gripped the wheel tighter, ascending curves, the asphalt narrowed even more, our speed slowed significantly, and my stress level increased. Our family was headed to a cabin on Lake Oxbow. It had already been a tiresome 7-hour journey. We had driven through the afternoon and stopped for a quick dinner in a little town on the road. Several hours after dinner, it was now late evening, nearing 10 o'clock. We were all getting cranky and quite weary. Anybody else ever have this happen, this phenomenon, cranky and quite weary in your car? Anybody else? I mean, what? Everybody's just sitting there. You're not really doing anything, right? I mean, I'm the one driving. Everybody else is getting, are we there yet? But it was happening. And we knew we were in the final stretch of our trip to the cabin, but it was requiring driving this middle of nowhere road draped in deep darkness. We had an address. We'd never been there before, an address, but as we drove further, as we drove on in the darkness, I made a grim discovery. All the cabins sat back from the road, and our cabin's owner had indicated there was a wooden sign clearly marking our destination. However, as we drove in the deeper darkness, we realized that such wooden placards were everywhere. But no lights. Nobody had lights on the placards. The higher we climbed, the more difficult it became to see anything besides trees. And we realized that it was going to be nearly impossible to find our cabin without streetlights. And we slowed our van's speed even more. And there were more sounds of whining and grumbling, are we there yet, from the back. And we were searching and we were squinting as we went. And after what seemed like an eternity of crawling at a snail's pace with the window now rolled down, looking, finally we successfully located the cabin. We pulled down the deep slope driveway. Closer to the cabin, we found a light pole whose dim lamp actually helped us find our way to the door and fumble with keys and get in. And then as we brought the first pieces of luggage in, we stepped out onto the back deck that overlooked the lake. To our amazement, the water on the lake was glowing with the glimmer of nighttime luminaries overhead. Wow, we all said it with just wow, we had never seen stars that bright, that close up. We were so far away from any city lights. Anybody else ever have this experience? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, no city lights. It was truly wonderful. Like we could just reach up and touch them. And our kids be a little, you know, they kind of did that. It's like, whoa, wow. Upon their arrival in Jerusalem, the Magi reported, we saw his star when it rose. Matthew 2 and verse 2. We saw his star when it rose. And the Magi responded to that stunning star as they journeyed. Verse 9 says, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. Stopped over the place where the child was. After their time in Jerusalem, the wise men had regained their momentum again. Now they were headed toward Jerusalem. They from Jerusalem toward Bethlehem. They were now headed toward Bethlehem. And as they went, the star went ahead of them. They had originally sighted the star when it rose while they were in their own country. And based on their explanation, the star had served to guide them on their journey. Did it appear in the sky each night and lead them? Apparently, in some fashion. Did it appear there in the sky and then disappear? Well, it seems there have been some hiatus in the star's appearance and directions during their stay in Jerusalem. But based on today's storylines in Matthew, the ones we just read, the star now reappeared, or perhaps simply reengaged in its work as compass-like GPS, reengaged with its movement. Scholar William Hendrickson asserts this. Hendrickson says, the luminous wonder was actually moving from north to south, from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. What a strange way for a star to behave. Nevertheless, it is what Matthew says. The star pointed out the very house. As described in verse 9, therefore, at this point, the strange and wonderful luminary must have been hanging low. To say that in some other way, the Magi had discovered the location of the place where the child was fails to do justice to the text, as I see it. Now, not every scholar on Matthew's gospel views the star as a precise first century GPS for the Magi. Some like to simply refer to the star making some quasi-impression on the travelers. Nevertheless, a straightforward understanding, common sense reading of this passage highlights how the star was serving in this capacity. Author R.C.H. Lenski affirms. Lenski says, the star moved as a guide. The star arrived. The star stood. It is all perfectly plain, absolutely miraculous, unlike any star that ever was. Now consider one quirky little word. One quirky little word. There are times when popular present-day translations leave out a special nuance that's actually included in the original old story, in the original language. Translators mean well when they do this. They do, often intending to kind of smooth out readability so we grasp it better. However, sometimes a nugget of glistening gold gets missed. With our lines right here, one extra poignant word got skipped in translation of many of our modern-day translations. It's a tiny word, often rendered in precise translations as low. Both the New American Standard Bible and the King James Version say it that way. In other passages, this same word is translated, behold. In our day, we say, oh, wow, or whoa, or amazing, or look, that's crazy good. This little word immediately precedes what we're told about the star's trajectory. The wise men had regained their journey's momentum. We learned about that last week. They didn't stay stuck in Jerusalem. They didn't let things hold them back. They got moving on the journey again. They kept searching for Jesus. And they continued moving forward. As they went, the star noted again, it says, it went ahead of them. It went ahead of them. It guided them. And as they saw it reappear and reengage, they were in awe. Just, whoa, lo, behold, wow. A lot like our family on the back deck in the Adirondacks. So much so that Matthew captures their sense of wonder right here. And so should we. If we're not careful, we fall victim to dangerous over-familiarity. What's the old saying? How's the old saying go? Familiarity breeds what? Contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. And in this case, over-familiarity can breed a ho-hum kind of outlook. As Christmas Day steamrolls our way, now's a good time to consider J.B. Phillips' words of caution and motivation. Phillips says, the particular danger which faces us as Christmas approaches is unlikely to be contempt for the sacred season. But nevertheless, our familiarity with it may easily produce in us a kind of indifference. The true wonder, Philip says, the true wonder and mystery may leave us unmoved. Familiarity may easily blind us to the shining fact that lies at the heart of Christmastide. And then he says, what we are in fact celebrating is the awe-inspiring humility of God. And no amount of familiarity with the trappings of Christmas should ever blind us to its quiet but explosive significance. When it comes to Christmas, we might mistakenly get dulled and lulled by all the glitz and the glitter and the glow, so much so that we miss the marvelous wonder and awe, that low or the take your breath away of, behold, we might miss that holy wow the Magi felt when they saw the star stop over the house. And with such wonder, they knew they were just moments away from meeting the baby king. And we dare not forget, that's what it was all about. That's what it was all about, and that's what it's still all about. Not to be a killjoy, but the real point of Advent is not your warm fuzzies. Warm fuzzies are great, yeah, but that's not the point. The real point is deciding to whom will you surrender your life dreams, ambitions, your passions, your priorities, your life pursuits. Will Jesus be your king? That's the real point of Advent. Will Jesus be your king? Look at verse 10. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Christmas, it can be quite a conundrum, right? Quite a conundrum. I recall a season years ago that was filled with family struggles, my family. Deep discouragement, dangling grief from recent losses. A number of my closest friends were facing desperate hardship and anxiety. I was still mourning the loss of both my grandmother and my dad. Must confess, it was one of those years when I was really just going through the motions of Christmas time. I hoped I was faking it well. Looking back, I'm sure there were people who were on to me. Some of you were on to me. I was trying to be a good dad, good husband, good pastor, and inspire others on their journey. But in the depths of my own soul, honestly, I was struggling to truly find Jesus that Yuletide. I felt dry, stretched, and spread too thin. As Bilbo said to Gandalf, I was feeling like butter that has been scraped over too much bread. I did not know how to express it then, but now I know. I was lacking joy. Plain and simple, I lacked true joy. And I never would have guessed what God would do that Christmas to replenish me. Consider truer joy. Truer joy. Think about it. Today's lines on our Magi story map we've seen spotlight what happened next when they laid eyes on the star. They were overjoyed. Now, the word joy has experienced its own marketing comeback on Main Street. Across recent years, multiple department stores have employed joy in their branding jingles and seasonal slogans. Perhaps you've seen it up in lights. Shining bright this year, somewhere in somebody's marketing. Ironically, the message always seems to be, we can sell you joy. Just buy our merchandise. Then give our goods to those you love. That's how you'll experience joy. But truer joy, the kind of joy spoken of in the Magi story, is a deep in your soul satisfaction. A deep in your soul satisfaction, not based on your shopping circumstances or good holiday vibes. Pleasant feelings have their place, for sure. Absolutely. It's good to feel good. But true joy is a down-in-your-heart gladness, a satisfaction and contentedness based on who Jesus is. True joy goes beyond our normal ideal feelings. It transcends situational happiness, drawing us deeper into his love and grace, forgiveness of our sins, peace both with our Creator and with other humans. Forgiveness, peace, hope for us, a hope that is both good for the here and now and forever and ever. When you have experienced such true joy, it's a depth in your soul. It's a depth in your heart. It's a depth of satisfaction and contentedness that transcends everything else that's streaming and screaming all around you. When have you experienced such true joy? This season. How about it? How about outrageous joy? How about this overjoy? What sparks such joy? Well, for the Magi, it was seeing the star. Now think about it for a minute. They hadn't even laid eyes on Jesus yet, but they were overjoyed. They gained such confidence that they were about to find him. And it's not a little bit of joy. In the ancient language, there's actually a pileup of literary superlatives right here. It literally says, they rejoice with exceeding great joy. It's like there was joy, and there was joy, and there was joy, and there was joy, and there was joy. It just kept piling up. Why? Why were they overjoyed? Because the star's movement and locked on location confirmed their original purpose. They were indeed being guided to the King, the one for whom they traveled so very many miles, and they were about to meet him. They were about to meet him. Truth is, at Christmas, we often encounter our share of killjoys on the way to find the Jesus we're searching for. You probably have a bunch of reasons to not rejoice this Christmas. We all know our fair share of joy killers. They include the press and the stress of the holidays. There's an emotional toll, for sure, that comes with so many relational interactions. Now, I get it. Some of you are more extroverted, and so you're like, bring it on, more talk with people. Some of you are more introverted, and you're like, oh no, I've done my max. I've talked to 2 people today. Yipes. We're all wired a little different, but when it comes to this business of Christmas, it can just be social interaction on overload. And that can kill joy, big time. We set awfully high expectations on ourselves and on others, don't we? Awfully high expectations. Our own overblown anticipation of the season. Certainly the holidays can bring setbacks with illness and afflictions in both physical and mental health. We readily face general weariness and exhaustion from deadlines, and we tend to run at a frantic pace, which too often kills our joy. So many of you can relate to my experience of stirred up grief over loved ones who passed in previous years. And so, as a result, instead of merry and bright, we can feel very blue. And of course, financial worries are often big joy killers that haunt us at the holidays. Plenty of times we sense an onset of heaviness from guilt over our own failures and foibles and sinful habits and long-standing bitterness even. For some reason, during this season, often devilishly difficult to pinpoint why, we struggle with forgiveness. Both experiencing forgiveness and extending that grace and mercy and forgiveness toward others, extending it and spreading it. I did some pondering this week. Some of you joined in with me in the pondering. I wonder what our families and communities might look like if we truly viewed Christmas as the season of forgiving, the season of forgiveness. If we truly grasp that forgiveness is at the core of the season, generously forgiving others and really believing God's graciously forgiven us. I wonder. I mean, when you let it sink in that this baby king, it was way more than the beauty of the starlight, and way more than the emotions of the moment, that this baby king, as Son of God, holy man, holy God, grew to work hard and serve others. He grew to work and heal and teach and then give his life on the cross to suffer and bleed and die for your sins, for my sins, and to be buried. But then to rise again from the grave, proving he was in every way the Son of God, the King. Have you yet this season let it actually sink in? His love for you, that great. His forgiveness, that lavish. Well, when's the last time you actually soaked it in? I am forgiven. Forgiveness is real. Forgiveness is true because the baby king came. See, when you really soak that in like that, you're bound to make this the season of forgiveness. You're bound to be willing to share it with somebody who just has really ticked you off for a long, long time. Or maybe just ticked you off this morning. When you know you're loved, when you know you're forgiven like that, you can't help but then extend that forgiveness. Jesus, our Shepherd King. We talked about him last week. We exploded that concept, that anticipation of the Shepherd King to come. Jesus, our Shepherd King, warned us about the thief and the wolf. John 10, verses 10 through 14. John 10, 10 through 14. The thief and the wolf. When Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, he said, beware, the thief and the wolf. They are additional dark images similar to the dragon representing the evil one in the apocalypse, the Revelation. Like J.R.R. Tolkien's Sauron or J.K. Rowling's Voldemort, the thief and the wolf are out to steal and kill and destroy. So be on your guard and fully rely on the Shepherd King. See, too often, we just kind of waltz along at Christmas. Oh, yeah. It's beautiful. Oh, yeah. I feel good in this moment. And we forget that there is a very real enemy at Christmas time. The thief and the wolf are out to kill and maim and destroy and rob us. Be on your guard and fully rely on the Shepherd King. Trust him more. Walk in confidence this week, trusting him more. Be on your guard this week. Trust him more, your Shepherd King. He guards, he guides, he provides his love, his grace, his strength, that real for you. Trust him more. As we trust him, what can we do? What can we really do? Consider how to make your choice to rejoice and take it beyond the platitude. Some of us love, we find sweatshirts, t-shirts that say, choose joy. seize the day, joy rules, that kind of thing. Hey, how do we go beyond the platitudes? Really make the choice to rejoice. You know that glum and grumpy Christmas years ago? I personally needed a new influx of true joy. And God did something quite extraordinary. Smack dab in the midst of our Christmas Eve service right here, as I was helping lead others, I was unmistakably moved by rich lines in songs and the sacred biblical text. And God used both, the sacred truth right there, in lines of songs and the biblical text. Old lines from the familiar song rang out in my soul. We sang it earlier. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And that night in our service, that just brought this whole next level of confidence in my heart and mind. A true comfort and joy, like I had not yet experienced that season. Let every heart prepare him room. Let every heart prepare him room. And I felt the challenge. I felt the stirring inside me. It wasn't some kind of boom, zing, all done, all fixed. It was a process, but one the Holy Spirit used that night through the truth. The call to joy, the call to really find Jesus. Such encouraging insights. And my heart was warmly stirred that night, and I sensed my gloomy grumpiness starting to lift based on such encouraging truths about Jesus. Then God did something else amazing. Some of you were here for it. As we all exited the service that Christmas Eve, we were surprised to find thick white flakes descending outside. Now, there had been no snow in the forecast, not even a chance, and now those flakes glistened in the glow of lampposts and starlight. It was coming down snow globe style. Some of you remember it. Some of you met up with me. I walked out here, and I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was doing the whoa, low, behold. I was like, ah. And you guys a bunch of you were standing out there going, ah, turning around, smiling. Some of you smiled bigger than I'd ever seen you smile before. Some of you haven't smiled like that since then. We were all just like, oh, why were people started checking their phones. Weather apps started updating, saying there were going to be a couple more inches of snow. People were giddy with delight. And I know exactly what most of you are thinking right now. Can you order up some of that for this week? Well, you better be here for Christmas. You just never know what might happen. No, seriously, it was like God was showing off. It was. It was like he was showing off. Now, it happened both ways, okay? Don't miss it. It was lines of sacred truth. It was lines of joy. It was lines of who Jesus is. It was reminders of the grace of God and the mercy of the cross and the goodness and truth of the resurrection of the King. And it was those lines of truth mixed with a show in the sky that just, oh. Wow, lo, woe, behold. Overjoy. We encountered that. Looking back now, I recall the choice to rejoice that Christmas Eve. Joy did not just happen to happen to us. My journey and so many others' journeys that year had felt treacherous, yes, but that night, we made the choice to recall Jesus, his arrival, his love, his grace for each of us. That choice made all the difference. How about you this season? How about it? Will you make the choice to rejoice? I want to challenge you, starting right now, from this moment on out into the week, I want to challenge you. Let's go extra slow. Yeah, I mean it. Some of you are thinking, oh, you don't know my list this afternoon. No, seriously. Let's go extra slow. Very deliberately this week. Let's go extra slow so that you don't miss the lo, whoa, behold. Soak in the colors. and the faces and the places and all God's graces, set out to share tidings of comfort and joy. See, you'll only be able to do that. You will only be able to bless others if you slow it down this week. Then you'll be ready to share tidings of comfort and joy. So what shifts do you need to make? Let's make them. It'll be worth it. Team's going to come back, and they're going to lead us in a couple of songs to close out our time. And as they're coming, I invite you to stand. Go ahead. Let's stand our feet. We're going to get into this together in the next few minutes. We're going to sing out, but before we do that, I want to share with you an Advent prayer, and I want to invite you to make it your own. But before I do that, I want to challenge you. Maybe in some unique way, you recognize like never before, or maybe in a renewed way, who the baby king is and what his grace means for your heart and life. If that's you today, we warmly invite you when we're done. There will be prayer team here at the front. They would love to come alongside you, listen to what's going on in your life, encourage you in the grace of God, in the joy of Christ, encourage you in that behold and what it means to be in awe and wonder. Challenge you, invite you, warmly invite you to come when we're done. Want to lead us in this Advent prayer. Make it your own, truly. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. All our heads bowed, our eyes closed. Let's make this prayer your own. Let me pray it for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please help us. Please help us. All together, with family and friends, starting right now and throughout this whole week, to embrace more fully the behold, the holy wow of these special days, celebrating your wondrous arrival, King Jesus. Please keep our hearts watchful, joyously anticipating fresh discoveries of who you are and what you mean to our journey moment by moment, Lord. Right now, we want to choose to pause and slow down and say, wow, your saving grace, blessed hope, and shining light are so brilliant. And so we bless your name, Jesus. Shepherd King. Shepherd King, thank you for your protection and power to save us. We praise you. We want to be the kind of people who choose intentional joy today and all week long. Guard our souls, please, so the thief and wolf cannot have their way in our lives. Guide us each step of the journey so we make the choice to rejoice in you, Jesus. Amen.